Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy fails.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
Just a bit outside.
On 1460 KXNO.
Hour number two of the Murph and Andy Show on a sunny Monday. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs is with us. And Andy, I know you did a big story. You missed the beginning of hour one because you were still checking on it. Were you able to figure out who cut the cheese?
We did. We can actually call him out by name now. His name is Kevin. Kevin cut the cheese.
All right, so that's a big story tonight at 10, right? That who cut the cheese? Is that the name of the story? Who cut the cheese?
He really cut it too.
He cut it.
It was
bad. Jeez.
Just a great big vat of warm cheese.
So is he in silhouette, or do we see? Are we going to see his face?
Well, it's a slow reveal. He starts out with a hairnet and a beard net. Then
his voice is all distorted.
Yeah, eventually he takes all that off and you really see him in the flesh.
The guy who cut the cheese.
The man who cut the cheese. It was hard not to use that line.
Well,
now I'm going to cut the cheese.
It's the height of clever,
isn't
it?
It's like the kid getting up there in the line at lunch, the school lunch, when you're having chicken, fried chicken. Remember, yeah, I'll take a breast. My friend will have a leg, but I'll have a breast.
Here's Trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales, home of Central Iowa's largest commercial selection. Visit them today at The Rock.
Trending Iowa, Iowa State put it number 21 in the new AP poll. Iowa State jumped up four spots to 19th. The Hawkeyes and Cyclones both in action tomorrow. Iowa hosts number 24 Maryland. Iowa State hosts Baylor.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of consternation about Iowa 2 weeks in a row winning the games on its schedule and either moving down or staying the same. Is this stay the same?
This is stay the same, yeah. Yep. They were 20th before last week, went 2-0, dropped to 21st, only had one game this week, won it on the road, and stayed at 21st.
Yeah, I think you could make a case that when you have to hit a nearly impossible shot to beat a mediocre team like Rutgers, or when you have to come from 15 down to beat Northwestern on a buzzer beater at home, that you don't move up, and maybe that overall isn't a good look for your basketball team. But the reality is, I've been one of these AP voters, and I don't think voters actually watch the games that closely. I'm not sure that they usually just know if you won or lost. So I am a little surprised that even as Iowa wins, they've either fallen back a little or stayed the same.
Yeah, and there was some speculation that last week that Northwestern game was later on Sunday evening, mm-hmm. and you know, voters saw Iowa, you know, getting beat by 15 at home to Northwestern, fill out my ballot, send it in, don't realize that Iowa comes back, wins that game.
Yeah, because there were many people who headed for the exits with 5 minutes to go, yeah. And those are fans. So yeah, there might be something to that.
Trending Iowa, on the women's side, the Hawkeyes are a top 10 team after beating Maryland yesterday. They're number 10 in the new AP poll. Iowa State 20th, and Drake is now under the rankings for the first time this season. The Bulldogs are 24th.
Well, good for Drake. That's quite an accomplishment to get back in the top 25 where they're earlier this year. It's rarefied air of the top 10 for the men or women. We don't see that very often. We see it once in a while. A few years ago, yeah. Iowa got up to, number 3 and then did a nosedive. We've certainly seen Iowa State in the top 10 numerous times over the years in
just
men's
little
basketball.
Stints in there, yeah.
But top
not
10,
a perennial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iowa women's basketball team to be number 10 and to have.
Where do you have to be though to be one of the teams in women's basketball that people take seriously?
Right. The top 4.
You think it's just always the top 4? The 4 one seeds in the tournament are the ones with a legitimate chance.
The women's basketball tournament often ends up being the 4 number ones or all ones and twos. I mean, it's so hard for anybody else to jump up in there.
You look at like the one seeds and compare them to say like the 12 seeds on down. It's like they're in a different sport.
For
right?
sure.
I mean, it is not like they're in the same tournament.
Yeah, that's for sure. On the men's side, Loyola went to the Final Four last year.
You never see that in women.
Yeah, you don't. You just don't.
From those little conferences, low seed, no.
Finally, trending out with two more acts have been added to the State Fair Grandstand. Country duo Dan and Shay will play Tuesday, August 13th, and Foreigner is going to play Thursday, August 15th.
All right. Foreigner, with Lou Gramm or different Foreigner?
I think Lou Gramm is just way beyond it now. I don't know that he can...
I don't want to see Foreigner without Lou Gramm any more than pointless. I want to see Journey without Steve Perry, even though I know they got a great young impressionist.
Yeah, I know. These fractions of former great bands or former good bands or former bands, they've lost so much cachet.
Now, unlike you two, I listen to some country, but I do not know the name of whoever you said. Who was that first one?
Dan and Shay. It's stylized like Dan plus Shay, so I don't know how.
Is that a couple, like they're in love?
No, it's two guys. The only reason I know anything about them is they played at the Grammys last, not Sunday, but a week ago. They played a song. So I saw it's just two guys who kind of sit there and sing. And I think they're called like pop country.
Dan plus Shay.
I would guess that Chris Williams would probably say douche country.
Yeah, we'll get an opinion.
Whichever one was like the lead singer had a good voice. He sounded good at the Grammys.
Favorite Foreigner song, Andy? For me, I got to go Jukebox Hero, I guess.
Urgent, I think, is my favorite. Urgent, yeah. Or...
what about Hot Blooded?
No, I don't like that one. Double Vision. Like that one?
Double Vision.
How about I Want to Know What Love Is? No, that's too saccharine for you.
Ballad.
God, I like
Night
that
Ranger
song.
Is opening up for Foreigner.
Night Ranger?
Wonder how many... I don't know any of the names of the guys in Night Ranger.
Is that Sister Christian?
No. Okay. Still Rockin' America? That is probably not the original lineup, but I don't know. I haven't kept up with Night Ranger very well.
Yeah. Who decides who gets the name? Is it a judge? I mean, how do they... Like,
yeah, you got to think that it's the guys that founded it, and if one of them takes off, kind of the rules of the breakup are that if you go off on your own, you have to leave the name of the band back.
Like when John Fogerty split with the other three guys from Creedence Clearwater Revival?
There was never any Creedence without him.
But they toured as Creedence Clearwater
Revival.
Yeah,
but you didn't hear about them.
Well, it's because nobody wants to see CCR without John Fogerty, but they got the name, and he got John Fogerty.
I guess maybe because he left.
And then he would have to say John Fogerty and playing some of the songs of Crow. Although for a while, he was so bitter about it, or so mad about the breakup, he wouldn't play any CCR songs.
Well, if he wrote them, if he wrote the song, then that's his song.
John Fogerty looked more like Bill Fenley or Ed Wilson?
John Fogerty. I mean... those guys both look more like John Mellencamp.
Oh, okay.
John Fogerty.
All right. Yeah. And last time I saw Fogerty, he had some Krzyzewski level hair dye going. It was.
Yeah, I'm going Bill Fenley on that.
Bill Fenley on the Fogerty? Did you have to look at a photo?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, went over the thrilling weekend of sports, and some we didn't get to was NBA All-Star Weekend. Did you watch any?
Nope.
Not a bit. AD, NBA All-Star Weekend, did you watch any?
I did, yeah. I watched a decent amount. Not as much as I sometimes do, but some.
The most skills, dunk, or game?
Dunk. I watched more of the dunk then. I watched... probably 25 minutes of the game last night.
Yeah. I'm not a game hater. There are some out there. I get that they don't play defense.
Right.
But they are still so spectacular at the game of basketball that just watching a guy casually pull up from 30 feet and shooting the ball like some of those plays are so athletic and fun to watch. It is like watching the Globetrotters.
It is.
Or exhibition.
Right.
But I'm still entertained
by
it.
They're the best in the world at it. And it's kind of fun the way they do it now where, you know, you had Steph guarding Klay Thompson last night, stuff like that, where, you know, it's not East versus West. So you get some of those kind of fun matchups.
Two great moments that I saw out of NBA All-Star Weekend, and I did not watch it. I didn't watch it wall to wall. I picked my spots, but one was John Sears had to get me to watch the replay of this. I'm sorry. Hang on. First one. Let's go to the dunk contest, which came first. The winning dunk, the dunk over Shaq.
People are getting on their feet now. They want to see this. Can Hamidou Diallo go over the 7'2" Shaquille O'Neal? Diallo makes his way towards Shaq. Rises, puts it up and in, and hangs on the rim, a la Vince Carter at the elbow.
Diallo wins the dunk contest. Audio
nuts.
Courtesy of TNT reveals the Superman logo. Jumped over Shaq, who they say is 7'2", but it's not just that he's tall, he's so wide.
Right.
It's like jumping over a small building. It'd be like jumping over a tall refrigerator. And he did it. Diallo did it. He wins the dunk contest. And now the three guys, Blake Griffin was the other, Vince Carter, Diallo, the three guys who have done the elbow dunk all won the slam dunk contest. So that's my advice to anyone trying to win.
Yeah. Good luck with that also.
That looks like it should be a dislocated arm. I don't want my guy up there doing that, but it won
so
again.
Cool.
Other great moment. This is the one that Sears had to tell me to come in and watch this. It was the Steph Curry alley-oop bounce pass to Giannis.
Here's Curry with a high bounce pass.
The reaction there from Marv Albert and others tell you how cool that was. It wasn't a particularly good pass. It was too high, but Giannis just went and got it.
It was insane how he went up and got that.
And he had like 38 points and 20 rebounds or something and didn't win MVP because the other team won.
Well, yeah.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, you're afraid if Kevin Durant doesn't win MVP, he might get mad and take the ball and go home. So
open up another burner account.
See, you just give it to him and move on.
Team LeBron wins 532 to 528. Here are some of the best mic'd up moments.
That's crazy. My top five all day long.
That's
Jack.
Crazy, bro.
And I remember when you was a baby when I had to get your daddy.
Go get this dub.
Let's get it.
All right, good luck, man. Everybody safe.
Come here, James. Come here, James. That's what I do, baby. That's what I do.
We got to get some of these shots to fall.
Here we go. Here we go.
Dirk having a lot of fun out there. That was fun to watch. And
yeah,
kind
Dirk.
Of the guys react to him. That's the part of the All-Star game I like the most is like getting these guys out on the court together.
It made for some great pictures. Did you see a few of
yes,
those where they're all gathered together
exactly.
on one team? They're all engaged and excited about one thing.
Yes.
There's one picture that I saw early this morning that was so great. Someone has got to make a poster out of it. It's LeBron, Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Harden, Anthony Davis, Kyrie, and a couple of other guys I didn't recognize their faces. They're all totally into whatever is going on the court. They're all watching from the sidelines. They're all together. And you can see all of their faces perfectly. None of them is looking at the camera. It's like a photographer's dream, right? I mean, they're all framed perfectly. They're all doing something. They're not looking at the camera. And they all look good. And they're all kind of together, tall and short, sort of staggered through the shot. It's an amazing shot.
I have not seen as many photos as I did video, but yeah, this is what all the leagues, how much of Major League Baseball like to have guys that are recognizable as these guys?
Yes, right. And having fun with each other and like nobody's taking it too seriously. I get it's not a real game. You every year on Twitter I see people, well, they're not even playing defense. That's not the point.
They're
of
so
this.
Popular
it's
though, you don't care. You just
right.
want to see them
and
together.
And it's fun to see them hanging out with each other and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the NBA regular season has kind of become less interesting than all the drama around it.
Right.
It in some ways it's the WWE. It's just like a soap opera without scripted endings.
And you get to see the best players go at each other in regular season games and in the playoffs, see what they can really do. So you don't need that in the All-Star game. You might as well see how many points these guys can score. As you said, 532 to 528.
I think that's right. I'm not
that's
positive.
Close enough.
NASCAR starts with its biggest race first. Always a curiosity. The Daytona 500 again had the big one.
Are you kidding me? This is big.
Wow.
But it
reminds me of the Clash. Same type of carnage that we saw where these cars were going everywhere. A lot of damage as they all got to turn three.
Well, that ruined everything.
Sometimes I'm speechless. I'm speechless.
Audio from NASCAR on Fox. It was a 22-car pileup with around 10 laps to go.
Yeah, it seemed like there was like so much excitement. Like 10 laps to go, everybody's in it, everybody's piled up, and then that happens and just really kind of takes a lot of the drama out of it.
Yeah, so then Denny Hamlin, after they finally restarted, it got dark there, went to overtime, that two-lap shootout-type race, and Denny Hamlin in the 11 stays out front.
Hamlin off turn number four. No, side-by-side battle to the finish this time. Denny Hamlin wins his second Daytona 500 and wins it for Coach Gibbs in Toyota.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs' cars finish 1-2-3. Jeez. Gibbs calls it the best win of his life. Now, I know he won Super Bowls, but this did have really strong emotional value. His son, JD, who was heavily involved in the race teams, died a few weeks ago. So very emotional for Joe Gibbs. And he could, any of those three cars, they could have finished in any order, and he gets the win. God, he's been so good with NASCAR. Also, I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it yet, or AD, if you were ever going to watch it, but I watched the unrivaled Earnhardt Gordon documentary. And man, it was just such a reminder of how popular the sport was in the late 90s, turn of the century. I mean, it was in front of NHL and was up, you know, getting closer to NBA and MLB and NFL. I mean, it was wildly popular, and all the races had the full stands and everything. And the main thing that comes through in the documentary, and Jeff Gordon talks, and a lot of people, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is in it, and of course is not him with the rivalry with Gordon, but his dad. And Andy, the documentary makes the point that in the history of sports, this might be an exaggeration, but this is how the people feel in it. They say there may not have ever been a fan base that hated another athlete as much as Dale Earnhardt fans hated Jeff Gordon.
That's a strong statement. Kentucky fans hate Christian Laettner pretty much. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Yeah. Within their world, in their minds, yeah.
That's how it felt.
That's how it felt.
And you could see where they're coming from. I mean, it was real.
They didn't have a reason to hate him.
No,
just, know that. It was just a rivalry.
He was an outsider.
Well, it wasn't
they
even
saw
a
him
rivalry.
As an outsider and a young gun. And Dale, it shows throughout the documentary over and over again that, you know, Dale liked to call him like Wonder Boy, and yeah. he liked to you know, poke at him about being too young, and made fun of his cheesy mustache.
Tear him down, yeah, that's what he did.
But they ultimately respected each other and kind of got to like each other. And Dale Jr. has been really good to Jeff Gordon. But it's good; it's a reminder of where NASCAR was and where it's not now.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon at that time was. I mean, the problem was is that, I mean, he came up and he was easy to dismiss. He was this, you know, kind of good-looking little guy from, you know, non-racing. Well, he was from Indiana, really.
Originally from California, but they moved to Indiana just to. His dream was to race Indy cars.
Okay, so they dismiss him as a California guy. He's whatever he is. He's not a Southeasterner, right? I mean, he's not from the real racing states, as they would say. And so they were. It was easy to dismiss him, but then he was just so good. They couldn't. So they had to find other ways to tear him down.
And he didn't.
Which usually meant a whole bunch of homophobic slurs.
With the rainbow car?
Oh, just everything about him. It was really pretty bad.
They show, too, how Gordon, unlike almost everybody else that Dale Sr. was racing at that time, he didn't get intimidated. He didn't get scared. Like, he would hold his own.
Stinking good. He won everything.
He could drive.
There were times, and this is when it seemed like NASCAR was going to break into the mainstream, right?
Right.
It was close. I don't feel like it ever made it there, but it was close. It was opening tracks in Chicago and Kansas City and you know, had a track in California, and it was in areas.
Phoenix, Las Vegas.
Yeah, Pennsylvania and stuff that where you didn't, you know, they had, of course, plenty of racing fans, but like those racing fans were becoming more of a force in those states that weren't racing states per se. And it seemed like they were just about to tip over the apple cart, right? And really, really change everything. But then that's kind of the point where they started losing too many of the fan favorites. The guys, because NASCAR used those guys as the faces to market these new tracks on.
Black hat, white hat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, but it was, you know, guys like Dale Jarrett and Mark Martin and
Bill Elliott.
Yeah, and Rusty even. I mean, you know, Rusty Wallace. Those guys, I mean, you knew of those. If you were any kind of sports fan, you had heard their names for a long time, right? And so when a track finally came to your area or there was coverage of it on your local news and you finally got to see these guys in the flesh, well, it added something to that. You know, it had a little, right. little legitimacy because you had heard of those guys before. But those guys started dropping like flies, remember? I mean, they were all about the same age. Those guys, that whole generation of really good drivers kind of started retiring all around the same time when NASCAR, I think in retrospect, kind of needed them most, at least to go mainstream.
And now another group of drivers all stepped down at the time. You lost Tony Stewart,
yep,
and Carl Edwards and kind of Jeff Gordon
came after that. Jeff
Dale
Gordon.
Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all have stepped away within a couple of years of each other.
Which is kind of odd because some of those other guys, I mean, Mark Martin had white hair, I think, when he retired, right? Dale Jarrett had white hair.
Yeah. I mean,
those guys drove forever.
They did.
And this next generation, I mean, Carl Edwards seems like he didn't race all that long.
No,
he had a real full career, but he wasn't an old man when he
He's still backflipping when he walked away.
Yeah,
still flipping off cars.
Still doing the P90X.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Michael Annette, as we talk about NASCAR, also won Daytona 300. That race, the Xfinity race, was Saturday. That's his first career win at NASCAR, and he's 32 now. I mean, it didn't seem... Gosh, he's been in studio with us a couple of times over the years, went to Dowling. That did bring about the best line I saw this weekend after Michael Annette won, and we put a little story out there from Channel 13 News that, you know, former Dowling alum and Des Moines resident Michael Annette has won his first NASCAR race. And somebody said, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Dowling is now recruiting drivers, too?
Finally, a little success for Dowling in sports.
Jeez, yeah, it's good to get them out there. All right, John has a thought on NASCAR. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. I covered NASCAR in Phoenix, and I had been exposed to it. I spent 1 year living in St. Louis, and my best friend was from Indiana, so Sunday, that's all we did. He taught me racing on TV. So I had some idea what was going on, but I was not prepared for what a NASCAR race was like. The people, the throngs of people, the money they were spending. You know, there was a computer game. This was like 94, 95. There was a computer game for the IBM PC. People were buying IBM PCs so they could play this game. It was like they had to have this game, so they were willing to just buy a computer and learn how to use it so I could play this game. It was insane.
I believe it, because one of the points this documentary makes about that time is that, like with Earnhardt and Gordon, you know, Gordon was Pepsi, so Earnhardt went Coke. And then their fan bases would not be caught dead with the other pop in their hands, because you only went, like, if you're Jimmy Johnson, you go to Lowe's, you don't go to Home Depot. That's where Tony Stewart hangs out. I mean, the brand loyalty is really extreme.
And beer loyalty. I mean, I liked a particular beer, and so I started to follow the guy who drove that car. I wasn't going to change my beer because of, you know,
sure,
who was driving. I picked the driver that went with the beer I already liked. But Jeff Gordon one time, he called my, you know, we got him on the show, and this was like 95 or something. He was big. And we talked for 10 or 15 minutes. The call dropped. He called back.
I believe it.
You know, that's how accessible these guys, fans, if you had a pit pass, if you had a, you know, you were a sponsor or something, you could talk to these guys on the racetrack right before the race.
Jeff Gordon has called into our show here just to promote his charity appearance in Knoxville before. So, they're willing to do that kind of
NASCAR
thing.
NASCAR always did have that going for itself. I mean, the drivers, which is weird because they're more covered up than any athlete in any other sport. I mean, they're not only with a helmet and a blast shield over their face, they're in a car.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't see them at all, but they get out, they take that helmet off, there's a million pictures taken with their face.
They're tireless.
People
with the
know their faces, yep.
All right, thank you, John.
Good. All week. All they do is they're out making appearances the whole week, wow. And then they get in the truck and they go someplace else. They do it again the next week. It's something else.
It is. Thank you, John.
When Jeff Gordon called into our show, is one of my favorite moments, like in my job. Usually we have like another line we'll give to guests to call in. So I see that line ringing. It's like, okay, I know that's Jeff Gordon. He just had our caller line 284-5966. So I pick up the call like I do everybody. You know, KXNO, can I get your first name? Yeah, Jeff. hey, Jeff, what'd you want to say here? This is Jeff Gordon. And I was like, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I guess NASCAR. To do a take. Yeah, Jeff Gordon, like the NASCAR driver.
I guess racing. You know, if I have to pick a subject,
whatever you guys want.
More is coming up, as in more snow. I'm guessing.
It's time for the play of the day, powered by the fastest short track on the planet, Iowa Speedway,
and that will do it. The Hawkeyes defeat the Maryland Terrapins 86-73. We thought it would come down to the wire. It didn't.
Get your season tickets today.
Rob Brooks on the call there as the Iowa Hawkeyes beat Maryland, number seven at the time, at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Time now to get some more on the Murph and Andy Show.
It's time for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. I'm Scott Landreth, inviting you to get more savings, more selection, and more service only at Lithia Volkswagen. Visit DesMoinesVW.com. And now, back to Murph and Andy.
All right, thank you, Scott Landreth. So Des Moines, we have a lot of snow right now. You notice that?
Too much.
Yeah,
it's piling up. It's hard to see.
It's getting to the point where we're starting to talk about where we are in the record book. It's too early, really. In 2009, we had 69 inches of snow. We did not get to the record that year. Remember how crazy that year was. First year we were on the air here. 72 inches is our record all-time snowfall in one season. We're nowhere close to that. We have got, though, right now within our sights, a 107-year-old snowfall record. In 1912, 43.5 inches of snow fell in 40 days in Des Moines. Since January 11th, 37.4 inches have fallen in Des Moines, according to the National Weather Service. So if we get what we're expected to get on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, which is 4 to 8 inches, we could potentially top 43.5 and topple snowfall for 40 days.
Jeez.
The snowfall for 40 days record. So in other words, we are getting another great big fat snowstorm yet this week.
I don't have anywhere else to put it.
It's interesting because
my mailbox is swimming.
People are having trouble finding more places to put this kind of stuff. I mean, it's not melting. We haven't had any.
Right.
Can you imagine, though? Remember the weekend we had, like 2 weekends ago, where it got to 50 2 days in a row, and we lost like 10 inches of snow? Can you imagine if we didn't have those 2 days, what this would look like right now?
Like Buffalo.
Would be up to our ears.
Yeah,
we would really be having a hard time. If you drive down Valley West Drive in West Des Moines right now, you look at the people that have kind of the short driveways in that narrow parking area, they have snow piled up so high that their mailboxes are kind of surrounded. It's getting kind of hazardous for people trying to get out of their driveways. So in the city of Des Moines, what they're having to do right now is actually pick up the snow, put it into a dump truck, and then take it over to the old waste management site on East 14th, huge open parking area, and then they dump it there, and they're making these giant mountains of excess snow. That's all they can do, just get it out of town and get it out of the way from town.
I think they just bring it, like a big heater in or something, right?
Melt it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a waste of energy. Or make a little mini, you know, snowboard resort or something, like a little sled hill. Let's see what we can do with some of the stuff. Yeah, but it's to the point now where I think we're late enough in the winter that people maybe the thrill is worn off of sledding.
Yes.
Have you heard anybody talking about sledding?
Yeah, Freund today. He's out there today on his day off.
He's sledding.
Sledding, snowboarding, something. I don't know.
He is. Where'd he go?
I don't know. I was interested enough to look at the photo, looked how cold he looked, just saw how cold he looked and thought, yeah, I'm not doing that. I got to get to work.
Well, it's President's Day. I'll probably have a little bit of company.
I went out yesterday to, like, go sledding. There's too much snow. Yeah. Like, my son, it's, like, scary to him because it's up to his neck.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, like he can't even walk through the yard.
If you're one of the few people that has snowshoes around Des Moines,
my mom was snowshoeing the other day.
You can use those now.
Yeah, you put a corgi out in this weather, you could lose him.
Yeah, poor Bernard is just... he hadn't taken a leak in the snow without freezing his tip off in weeks.
He's got a frosted tip.
Really frosted tip. This day in 2001, this was the day that Dale Earnhardt died at Daytona. 2001. Wow, 18 years ago.
That is hard to fathom. It's been almost two decades, and he still looms over that sport. I mean, there's still...
If you were to take a survey about the biggest names in NASCAR, the most recognizable names, where would he finish? First? Would he finish first?
Or his son? I mean,
just the name Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
Be two of the top three.
Yeah.
It's definitely at the top all time.
Been 18 years since he's driven.
And it probably only...
Or done anything.
It only adds to his... His rebel intimidator image that he, A, died on the track, B, died at Daytona, C, died, you know, while doing what he loves, and D, never got old.
It was just such a random-looking crash, too, right? I mean, of all the giant firing car flipping over, flames coming out, explosive tires flying down the track crashes that you've seen in auto racing...
Snapped his neck.
That was like one of the most average looking crashes that you'd see.
At that level, people don't die anymore. They haven't died since because
that Hans device.
His death brought on the Hans device to keep your head from snapping in a way that'll snap your neck. And they put in all the padded walls like they have at the Iowa Speedway that
absorb the pressure.
Yeah, they absorb. Yeah. They kind of spring
energy
in.
Energy absorption or whatever, yeah. This day in 1976, the Eagles released their first Greatest Hits album. And last year, it passed Michael Jackson's Thriller to become the greatest-selling album of all time. At least 38 million copies sold. So nowadays, they have a kind of a different way of tracking number of albums sold. People don't buy albums really anymore. So 1,500 streams of an album equals one album sold. 10 downloads off one album equals one album sold.
1,500 streams for one album seems like a pretty hefty price to pay to get credit for one sold album. 1,500?
That's crazy.
I don't know if it's...
Wow.
You're streaming it there. You're not really buying it. Yeah. You're buying the service.
I guess.
I don't know. That's according to the Recording Industry Artists Association. Hotel California, the album Hotel California, that has 26 million copies sold. That is third on the list all time.
Wow. Jeez. And some of the same songs.
Eagles have done all right.
Andy, I have an update from Keith Poe, who is a classic rock freelance writer. Foreigner has one original member, Mick Jones,
The guitarist.
But due to age and health, he doesn't do the whole tour. Now, on their recent 40th anniversary tour, all the originals, including Lou Gramm, came out and did part of the show on some dates. It's unlikely to happen at a state fair show. Kelly Hansen has been the lead singer for more than 10 years. He sounds better than Lou. Night Ranger has all the guys still there.
The
original guys.
I saw that. It looked like they were...
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, it looked like they had at least their lead singer. That's who you care about, right? Okay, where were we?
Payless.
Five Payless shoe stores in the Des Moines Metro will close as the chain prepares to shutter all of its U.S. stores, according to Reuters. The chain plans to liquidate and is expected to file for bankruptcy later this month. Also, a report from Reuters. Is that the one you worked at, Andrew?
No, it's not.
I always get that one wrong.
Yeah, I worked at Shoecase.
I worked at Famous Footwear.
Famous Footwear. I always get those two confused. Payless and Famous Footwear. Yeah, it doesn't seem like that has been doing real well in a long time.
Yeah, all those mall stores
that
are like just one thing
they sell.
Yeah, that's tough.
They're not doing well anymore. No, that's it. The Richie Valens memorabilia that we were mentioning right after the winter dance party that got stolen, got lifted, got absconded with. It's back. They found it. Somebody turned it in. It was stolen out of the the Best Western Inn at some gathering that the family had there before the winter dance party. Took all these big picture frames, pictures. It all showed up again, but you know what? The police ain't satisfied. They want to know who took the stuff. They're still looking for the people that took it, even though it's been returned.
Once it gets returned, I know you might want to still pursue it, but I'm kind of okay after that because I feel relieved because somebody must have gotten the word of how much this means.
Well, they want to know where this stuff was. Anybody that has information on the item's whereabouts over the last 14, 15 days or so, they are asked to contact the Clear Lake Police Department. Drivers in Iowa who linger too long in the left lane of an interstate or four-lane highway could face a $100 fine under a proposal that's advanced in a House committee to a House committee. Representative Gary Worthen of Storm Lake is a truck driver, and he is sick and tired of motorists loitering in the left lane. I have followed two cars driving side by side for miles that I wanted to pass with a truck. You get that close to the road rage type situation where you just want to strangle somebody, said Worthen.
Wow. Okay.
He's laughing.
Oh, with a laugh. Okay.
Yeah, he's chuckling. I don't know. It could have been a maniacal laugh.
What?
Get close to a road rage situation.
That's your maniacal laugh. You're really good at laughs.
Something like that. Yeah. Many trucking companies now install a device on a semi to control the truck's speed in an effort to save fuel costs, and Worthen expects more trucking firms to go that route. So it's really hard to pass people.
Go that route. Good pun.
Get out. Yeah. Get out of the way.
Back to your laughs. Can you do the Kawhi Leonard laugh? Well, I mean, because when we do another chapter, we have to add that.
Something like that.
Ed said,
I can't do that laugh all that well. It's so good, though. The moment I hear it, I start laughing.
Ed says Jerry Ann and Megan both have unique laughs, so maybe you can add those. You'd have to listen to it right before you did it.
Great. Jerry Ann and Megan, do they have unique laughs?
Yeah.
I can't even think of their laugh. I can't think of Megan's laugh at all. Megan Selwell's laugh?
No, Ruther. Ed said her facial expression doesn't change.
Her face doesn't change as she's laughing.
She just keeps smiling, yeah, as she's laughing.
Just
she's always smiling, though.
She is.
Right. So you may not, if you don't have the volume on, you might not notice she started laughing because she's smiling. She's happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's why it's unique.
Yeah,
just looks like she's smiling, but she's actually laughing.
It'd be crazy to see her mad because she'd still be smiling and she'd just be like yelling at you.
Never seen her mad.
I think she gets mad. No, I don't think she gets mad. Jerry Ann gets mad.
At you.
Yes, she does. A little stick of dynamite there. All right, look out, man. Okay, finally, I've been trying to get to this. Have you guys heard about the new romance mode feature in the Tesla cars?
No.
It's serious. They brought it out on Valentine's Day. They just dropped it into the car's computers while doing an update on the operating system. Tesla, the car runs like your iPhone, basically. If they want to improve the car, they just update the operating system. It improves the car.
This will be the way of the future.
Yeah, it's incredible. So they dropped in this romance mode just for the heck of it. Okay, so there's a switch. There's a button on the dash. It doesn't necessarily say romance mode, but it's some sort of an auxiliary
function. It's got like a heart
function
or something on it.
I don't know. Maybe a heart-shaped button. But to activate the romance mode, you push an icon on the little display on the dashboard. And it's one of several free modes that include vintage video games and even bodily sounds. Tesla's having fun.
Right.
They need to catch up with the demand for their cars, but they're having fun. So when you press the romance mode button, up pops the video of a roaring fireplace on the car's very large center screen. It's a really big screen, huge screen. Fireplace pops up, and then Marvin Gaye starts playing. Really? No fooling. And the heated seats turn on.
Oh, they do.
The heated seats turn on.
So you start to feel something.
A fireplace pops up onto the screen, and Marvin Gaye starts singing.
That's awesome.
Dude could sing.
It only works when you're in park. Yeah.
That's probably good.
Yeah, yeah, that ruins some plans out there, doesn't it?
I assume this comes only with stick shift.
Yeah, there were some people that immediately thought of some things they could do.
Stick shift, right?
This yeah, is not... they were thinking of a stick shift.
Well, this is not in the automatic Tesla.
I don't think there is a manual transmission Tesla. I think it's all like one of those
it's all stick.
Constant variable transmissions or whatever. Oh, man, that is awesome, though. Those guys are having fun with that kind of thing.
That
there's probably a cool thing that they can do in the summer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Start They'll playing Seals and Crofts or something.
I but hope I mean, it's not Seals and Crofts.
Well, I was just trying to think of a cool breeze music.
Okay.
Something cool.
Something cooler than Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. But, I mean, you hit the button.
Yep.
Boom. Whole car turns into your own lone little romance cave.
Marvin Gaye, shot by his father.
What a tragedy.
Shot and killed by his father. That's probably not part of the
romance
feature.
Is there any way to
feature.
Any romantic music by Marvin Gaye in mixed company?
Alexa, play Marvin Gaye. I'll bet it started in a few houses right then.
Hey Siri, play Marvin Gaye. Oh, here she goes.
Oh, heard it through the grapevine, right?
Oh, man.
Well, that's mountain high enough.
Yeah, it is. You got to love that.
That's mountain high.
Actually, it's a pretty good sound.
That's a good song.
It starts right at the top for you.
I feel like I'm watching Remember the Titans.
Is everybody dancing? They dance to that in there?
To this. When we come back, you're not going to go to the break? You're going to leave it to AD? The more on the shot celebrated by Hawkeye fans everywhere.
Free estimate.
Time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day. It is the AD squared.
Yeah, and so we opened the show with Joe Wieskamp's big shot against Rutgers, the kind of miracle shot for the Hawkeyes. And this all started, I think, because Sam Lozada, as you said, walked into the sports office and unknowingly filmed, or I guess John Sears was unknowingly filmed by
at
Sam
first,
Lozada.
Yeah, but Sam sees the shot go up and I think says,
Iowa's going in, right?
He thinks it's over because he thinks Iowa's losing.
Okay.
Yeah, he thinks
because he says game, and it makes it sound like he knows they're going to win.
Yeah, it's when the ball goes into the corner, and I think that's the way I took
it. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Let's go the other way with it.
Anyway, you guys over at Sound Off asked people to send in some of their videos of their reactions, and these are obviously better when you see the video, but I do like hearing the screams from several Hawkeye fans from Saturday night.
On pass, game.
Yeah, that was played out all over anywhere there were Hawkeye fans. And like a couple of people tweeted in here, so they're not even Hawkeye fans. And they just, they started yelling because saw something
reaction, right.
Unlikely. It's a reaction. We have Creaky Polls presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Which is your favorite Iowa win this season? The Michigan game, Michigan win, is leading the poll at 54%, 26% say Iowa State, 14% Rutgers, and the poor Northwestern game is getting forgotten about already. Jeez, the way down to 6%.
It is interesting, though, that vote kind of goes by the strength of those teams.
Yes,
right?
Sure.
Michigan, Iowa State, Rutgers, Northwestern.
Which Iowa State road win was bigger? First place K-State is 71% of the voters. 29% will pick the win at number 8, Texas Tech.
Royal Mile inbox, Brian tweets to @Murph_Andy, put the snow in Des Moines yard waste bags and put it on the curb for pickup. I don't think that's encouraged, is it?
Kind of a waste of those sort of expensive bags.
those bags aren't cheap. That's going to do it for the Murph and Andy show today. Stick around now. The Sports Fanatics are coming up next.